The Audio Description Association audio newsletter for April 2024. Welcome back, members and friends of the Audio Description Association. We're thrilled to welcome you back after the Easter break for the second edition of the year of the ADA's audio newsletter, packed with valuable insights, resources and events. We're delighted to feature an exclusive interview with Trish Hodson, the Audio Description Association's membership secretary and a luminary in the field of accessibility and inclusion. But that's not all. Our team has been hard at work sourcing fantastic events. From workshops to webinars, there's something for everyone eager to delve deeper into the world of accessibility. Thank you for being part of our vibrant community, and we can't wait to continue this journey together. Warm regards from the Audio Description Association comms team. This audio newsletter is presented by myself, Tim Calvert. In this edition, we'll also cover ADA events, skill set and AD soup sessions, what's on TV and theatre highlights, a fond farewell to Paula Succi. In industry news, we hear from Rog Chalmers about an innovative new audio description that took place at the National Theatre during the production of The Witches. We have information on the APT exhibition, also info on ADA key committee vacancies that are now available, industry podcasts, RNIB Connect Radio, the Audio Description Network, and a view on access. We also have information about Read All About It, how you can contribute to the newsletter. So, without further ado, let's get the ball rolling. ADA Spotlight. Drum roll, please. We're thrilled to kick off our ADA Spotlight with Trish Hodson, Membership Secretary for the Audio Description Association. So let's begin by asking what started you on your accessibility journey and how that led to your current role as ADA's Membership Secretary.
That's actually quite a difficult question, isn't it? Because how far back do you go? But, you know, I've reached a certain age now, so it goes back. No, I guess really officially my sort of accessibility journey, let's say, started in the early 90s when I got a job at the Bristol Hippodrome, which is a large commercial theatre, sort of Western musicals, that kind of thing, opera, ballet, comedians, whatnot, pantos. And I got a job there as an office clerk, part-time. And within a year, luckily, I didn't intend to stay there at all. I was just using it as a sort of a stopgap. You know, I really wanted to work in sort of, I wanted to work at the BBC, actually. 24 years later, I was still there. Luckily, a job came up in the group sales department. But what was good about it was that it was also connected up to access. So the person who was leaving was also in charge of dealing with disabled patrons that were coming to the theatre. And he was in the process of setting up a newsletter and building the mailing list and building the offer, really. At the time, they were only offering BSL performances few and far between through the year. Anyway, so I took on that role. And as I say, 20-odd years later, it morphed and developed over time. I was there at a time when new things were coming on stream, not least computers and internet, because we used to do everything very sort of manually. But as we had access to better computing systems and ticketing systems, database management systems, it meant that we could be in touch with our customers in more productive ways. And it was more useful, more accessible for our disabled patrons because we could offer different formats, large print, email, etc. But what was good about it was, I suppose, it had started at that foundation of everything being by phone or face-to-face. So we never lost that. That became a kind of a part of our department. So it became the groups and access department under my management. So about 10 years or so in, I became the manager of the department. And we very much, I wanted to keep that face-to-face connection with the customers going, not turn it all into a digital thing. Technology was also good because it meant we could also develop our audio description performances. We'd never offered them before. And a customer of ours, a blind customer that I used to talk to regularly, he'd heard about, this was like mid-90s, he'd heard about this thing that was happening in Scotland on the football terraces, apparently, where people were audio describing to their fellow fans what was happening on the pitch. And he was really excited, and he'd heard this sort of, that maybe this was something that could be developed, and he'd heard that people were maybe developing it into theatres and so on. Anyway, we managed to get some funding, and we managed to get, which is unusual in a commercial theatre, we got some kit, some Sennheiser kit, infrared kit, and I just treated it like the crown jewels. It was sort of this very precious thing because it was expensive, and it had taken us a long time to get it, but it was the facilitator for providing audio description. So I polished it sort of every day, pretty much looked after the batteries, etc. So suddenly we could offer audio describe performances, so we could build our lists of blind and partially blind customers and our offer to them. So because I'd worked in these two camps, I'd worked in ticket sales and marketing, but I'd also worked, my focus and passion had always been about the accessibility side of things, the customer service focus of accessibility. I decided when that redundancy happened in 2017, I didn't want to follow the line of ticket sales and marketing. I wanted to stick with the accessibility side. That had always been something that I'd felt much more passionately about. And so I thought what I would do is set, naively possibly, thought I'd set myself up as a accessibility trainer, because one thing I did know after 20 odd years of doing this job is that nobody ever gives you a manual that says, here's how you do access in any cultural establishment, venues, arts, leisure, community centres, whatever it might be. And so I thought, right, okay, I'll. So I set myself the task of writing everything down. I basically wrote workshops about everything that I'd ever come across. I broke my job down really into modules of things that we'd covered. So box office marketing, front of house equipment, everything that was involved in my day job. And in a bid to, before I forgot about it, pass that along to people who were finding themselves tasked with similar roles. Yeah, so I thought, okay, well, I'll do that, and then I'll sell it to venues, and they will be biting my hand off to take this information. But of course, the reality being that when you're trying to, it's one thing working for a company when you have the umbrella of that company and that company's name, but when you're actually then tasked with sort of doing this under your own name and trying to sell your own wares, as it were, that became much harder. And of course, as we all know, budgets for access are very small or non-existent. And so it became increasingly difficult for me. I did manage to deliver this training to a number of organizations. I even went to Singapore. I spent a week in Singapore working with Paul Adams at the Singapore Repertory Theatre. And he brought, because he ran a very successful access group over there of all the different organizations, arts and cultural organizations, museums, galleries, theatres, like the Marina Bay Sands, etc. And they all came together as an access group. And over the course of a week, I delivered my training sort of four times to different groups of people over there, which was fantastic. And it made me really believe that it was worthwhile, and that actually there was mileage in this, literally. I diversified into sort of restaurants as well, and as I say, leisure centres and community centres, because what I discovered was that accessibility, particularly from a customer service focus point of view, applies everywhere. And actually, very few people have this information to hand. They might have pieces of this information and might be able to look it up, but you don't know what you don't know. So I found that actually, by being able to deliver it in a sort of a modular format where people would go away with hefty resources of information, it did prove quite successful, but not successful enough that I could make enough money from it as a full-time job. And I sort of came to the realization in sort of mid-2019, having done it for sort of 2 years, that I needed another string to my bow. So luckily at the time, Vocalise advertised that they were going to run a audio describers training course. Primarily, obviously, training people to deliver audio description for theatre, so live AD. And I thought, well, okay, I've spent 20 years booking audio description in to the theatre. So I know that side of the curtain, as it were. I know that how that works, and I know a lot of audio describers because I've been doing this for a long time and I've met a lot of people, but I have no idea whether I actually do it myself. But something sort of made me think, well, I'll give it a go. And I've never been I'm resolutely a backstage kind of person. I've never ever acted or performed, or I cried buckets of tears aged 4 when I was tried they tried to co-opt me into a nativity play. So, I was very much not an on-stage kind of person, but I thought, well, this isn't performance, this is writing primarily and delivering. Anyway, so caution to the wind, let's have a go. And I actually loved it. And of course I was had the major benefit of being trained by Andrew Holland and Ros Chalmers, both of whom I'd known for a while. Ros particularly I'd known over a number of years. But yeah, I just really took to it. I really enjoyed it. And we came to the sort of assessment time, which was early March. So we started with our assessment of, we did The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe at the Bridge Theatre. That was our sort of exam, if you like. But then to solidify the training, we had to deliver a professional audio described performance shared with a veteran describer. And so that was booked for March 2020. That might give you a clue as to what happens next. I was one of the, possibly, there were 20 of us that trained, and I think I was one of only a handful that actually managed to do a live show before, obviously, COVID and the theatre shut down. Now, as it turned, so I was sort of slightly, obviously, oh no, just when I thought I'd found something that was going to boost my career prospects.
What was that first show like then that you
Sorry, so
audio
yes,
described?
the first show was Anne Juliet. It was very nerve-wracking because I volunteered. Rose was my second, so she was the sort of veteran describer I was working with to test me. But I volunteered to do Act One, which, if anybody's actually been to Anne Juliet, it starts with a sort of very open stage. So the first sort of 15 minutes or so, the players are coming on stage and sort of just doing their thing. So as well as doing the intro notes, and then I then had to sort of fill that gap. So I sort of, in my usual quite literal sense, ended up sort of scripting it, which felt a bit forced, but and then had far too much to say, and oh, and then obviously there was a different person on stage that day, and blah blah blah. So yes, it was a slightly seat of the pants job, but I really enjoyed it. I loved it, and actually went on to do. I've done that a few times now, and I will be doing a couple of the national tour this year as well. So it's the one live show that I'm actually still doing because of the shutdown. Actually, things had to change, obviously, for everybody. And all the describers sort of formed this that I, a handful of the describers that we already knew formed a sort of a WhatsApp support group, pretty much, which was a great lifeline, actually, because for those of us, all these new describers, we were suddenly thrown into this world and then slightly thrown out of it again. And what are we going to do now? But it was fantastic. So it was a way of getting to know each other still through Zoom and the WhatsApp messages and so on. And it was a great time of learning, actually, because through Ada and various other individuals, there were lots of sort of CPD sessions that were being offered, and Vocalize were providing sort of ongoing training for everybody, and learning on alongside Ada, like how to use digital formats and Zoom for things and various technologies that suddenly needed to sort of bridge this gap. And subsequently, I see massively fortuitously for me, I was sort of taken on with a few others that were available and wanted to do it, and trained by Veronica Hicks in screened content, so AD for the screen, which was right up my alley because although I'd worked in theatre for 20 odd years, theatre was never really my go-to sort of way of accessing the arts. I would much rather go to the cinema and watch films and that kind of thing. So actually, to be able to do audio description, which had never, I just didn't think I'd ever find a way into that. So being offered a path into screen content, AD, was just brilliant. I just loved it. I just so that sort of started around about September 2020, and it yeah, and I'm still doing it now, and I'm still learning. I still feel that I'm much more experienced than I was, but I still feel like every day is a school day, pretty much. Every new project comes with its own little sort of peculiar ways and the things you think, how am I going to tackle that? But I've done all sorts of things now. I've done films, documentaries, comedies, various series, perhaps that were originally in foreign language, so Polish or Spanish or whatnot, and then dubbed into English, and then doing the AD for those. So, and I really love all of it. I've even done a horror. Like, well, one of the first films I did was a horror. Initially, I was sort of thinking, oh, I don't think I can do this actually, because obviously with audio description, you're constantly staring at trying to pick out the detail, and I'm trying to describe this sort of toothy monster that's basically eating people in the woods, and finding new and interesting ways of describing that. And I absolutely loved it. So even though I thought I'd be terrified and not really able to sleep, I just got really into the detail of it, and that took over.
Can you describe how you became involved as the membership secretary?
When you work as a freelancer, what I've discovered is obviously that you know a lot of people, but you don't actually have colleagues as such. So you have contacts more than colleagues. So during the COVID lockdown, I really appreciated having more contact with people, because people were sort of reaching out and spending more time together, learning together, sharing projects, etc. And of course, over a period of time, that's changed and people have gone back to their usual way of things. But as a freelancer working from home, as I do, I kind of reached the point where I thought, actually, I could really do with some colleagues. I don't see a lot of people. I have friends and so on, but I don't see a lot of work people regularly, or other than sort of email contact. And I thought, well, I think I'm ready to try and do something that will maybe bring me into a different sphere of people and different group of people. And so I'd always been a member of ADA for a number of years, and I've never been a member of a committee or anything like that before. But something came up that was mentioned that there might be vacancies on the ADA committee coming up for last year, and I thought, well, actually, maybe this is the time to do it. I feel a bit more sort of confident in the other things I'm doing. I feel like I can spare a little bit more time on something else, albeit voluntary. So I sort of put my name in the hat, basically, not with a specific intention of the membership secretary role. This was just to be a member of the committee. And but as it turned out, the previous secretary was considering stepping down, and so along with a couple of other changes that were happening in the wider committee, I was taken on in that role. Yeah, so that's been exciting, and it's been really fun, actually. I mean, there was a lot to learn initially. It happened to be the timing of it happened to sort of coincide with the new website sort of coming more on stream. So a lot of work had been done by the previous chair, Neil, to get the new website up and running, and obviously various other members of the committee were working on all sorts of aspects of the membership side. So I was sort of I came into it just as all of that was kind of happening. So we're still in that process of developing certain new things and functionality on the website. We've got some fantastic experienced people who are on the committee, fortunately, that are able to work on these things, which is brilliant. And equally, there's been a few because of that, there's been a few new ways that we can work on with memberships. So I've been trying to learn as much as I can, as quickly as I can, about all of that, with grateful assistance again from the ADA secretary and treasurer and various other people on the committee. And so here I am, a few months down the line. We've managed to generate some more members, been working on some sort of social media and sort of marketing things. Obviously, the new newsletter, the audio newsletter that you yourself put out there, Tim, it all helps to bring awareness of what Audio Description Association is trying to achieve, and strength in numbers. Hopefully we can keep gaining more and more members to our cause.
What do you hope for the next 12 months in this role?
Well, I really hope that I can continue working on increasing membership. I think that's the thing. I'm trying to bring my past experience to bear to some extent, in terms of having to try and tackle social media to improve marketing and that kind of thing of what we're offering, and tapping into sort of old contacts that I had from when I worked in the theatre, and all the different people that I met through the training, my accessibility training, I mean, because I have actually met a lot of people over the years. So it's now kind of going back and going, hey, remember me? What about you come and join ADA? I'm sure you'll find it's a fantastic thing. So that's my intention, is to try and draw those strands of my professional career together into this, if possible.
Well, thank you very much.
No problem at all. It's lovely to speak to you, Tim. Thank you.
ADA Events. ADA skill set 2024, Awareness and Development with Tim Calvert. In April, we have for you, via the Zoom platform, Thinking Outside the Box with Dan Parr of Hear the Picture Audio Description. This takes place on Tuesday the 30th of April between 2 and 3:30 p.m. In May of 2024, we have The American Dream, a unique perspective into audio description practices stateside with Megan Harms. This takes place on Tuesday the 28th of May between 2 and 3:30 p.m. And in June 2024, we have Describing for Children and Younger People with Kate Taylor Davis. And this takes place on Tuesday the 25th of June between 2 and 3:30 p.m. All times are British summertime, and further sessions will be announced later this year. And please do find out more information by visiting the Audio Description Association website. ADA's AD Soup Sessions with Roz Chalmers. In April, it's Getting Into Screen Description with Cara Edney from Hearsay Audio Description. This takes place on Monday the 15th of April between 7 and 8 p.m. In May 2024, we have How to Prepare for an Audio Describe Performance with Anne Hornsby from Mind's Eye. And this takes place Monday, 13th of May, between 7 and 8 p.m. And in June, Touch Tours from a CSM and Actor's Perspective with David Marsland, Senior Stage Manager at the National Theatre. If you'd like to contribute to ADA's AD Soup Sessions with Roz, then please do email info@audiodescription.co.uk. What's on highlights? TV. Breathtaking takes place, a new series, which is now available on ITVX. The Jury Murder Trial is on All 4. Ted Lasso is available with audio description via Apple TV. Bridgerton Series 3 is available on Netflix, and it airs May the 16th, Episodes 1 to 4, and June the 13th, Episodes 5 to 8. You vs. Wild. Bear Grylls, this is available on Netflix. This is interactive, you can choose your adventure. One Day is available on Netflix with audio description. The Gentleman is available on Netflix with audio description. Mammals is a documentary. This is a new series available with audio description via the BBC iPlayer. Trigger Point is available from ITVX. What's on theatre? Come From Away is on at the Mayflower in Southampton. This is audio described on Thursday the 18th of April. Touch Tour is 12:30 p.m. Curtain Up is 2 p.m. The booking line is 02380711811. Frozen the Musical is likely to be audio described for the final time, and that's at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane, and that will be on Friday the 19th of April. Touch Tour is 5 p.m, Curtain Up 7 p.m. To book tickets, you can call 020 3925 2998. The Divine Mrs. S is on at the Hampstead Theatre, and it's audio described on Saturday the 27th of April with a Touch Tour at 1 p.m, Curtain Up at 2:30 p.m. To book tickets, you can call the Hampstead Theatre on 020 7722 9301. Moulin Rouge, a great show to experience, is on at the Piccadilly Theatre in London. That's audio described also on Saturday the 27th of April, with a Touch Tour to be confirmed, Curtain Up at 2:30 p.m. Booking line is 0333 009 5399, and that is the ATG assisted booking line. Also on the 27th of April, we have for you Opening Night. This is the Guildford Theatre in London. That's audio described for you at 2:30 p.m. with a Touch Tour to be confirmed. The booking line is 03444825137. Hadestown is on at the Lyric Theatre, London, also on Saturday the 27th of April, and Curtain Up is 2:30 p.m. Touch Tour is to be confirmed. The booking line is 0330 333 4812. What's on in May and June at the theatre? Well, we have one of my top recommendations, which is Guys and Dolls, which I've experienced a couple of times now, and it has its third audio describe performance, which takes place on Saturday the 4th of May at the Bridge Theatre. The Touch Tour is 12:25 p.m. with Curtain Up at 2:30. To book tickets, you can call 0333 320 0051. Also recommended is The Hills of California. This takes place on Saturday the 11th of May and is audio described at 2:30 p.m. A touch tour is to be confirmed. The booking line is 0333-009-5399. Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York is also highly recommended and is transferred from the Kiln Theatre in Kilburn. This takes place at the Criterion Theatre and is audio described at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday the 18th of May with a touch tour at 12:30 p.m. To book tickets, you can call 020-7839-8811. The School for Scandal at the Royal and Derngate is audio described on Wednesday the 22nd of May. Audio intro is at 7:15 p.m. and curtain up is at 7:30 p.m. Spirited Away is on at the Coliseum in London and is highly anticipated due to its innovative puppetry, and this is audio described on Thursday the 23rd of May. Touch tour is to be confirmed, curtain up is at 7:30, and to book tickets you can call 020-7845-9300. With Nail and Eye is on at the Birmingham Rep, and this is audio described on Saturday the 25th of May with a touch tour at 1 p.m, curtain up at 2:30. And to book tickets, you can call the Birmingham Rep on 0121 236 4455. John Cleese's 40 Towers is on at the Apollo Shaftesbury Avenue in London and is audio described on Wednesday the 29th of May with curtain up at 7:30 and a touch tour to be confirmed. The booking line is 020 7851 2711. And finally, we have Maggie and Me, also on at the Royal and Derngate. This is audio described on Friday the 7th of June with an audio introduction at 7:15 p.m. Curtain up is 7:30 p.m. and to book tickets, you can call 016 04 62 4811. A fond farewell to Paula Succi. With a heavy heart, we announce Paula Succi's departure from the Audio Description Association Committee of Trustees. As Paula Succi steps down from her role on the Audio Description Association Board of Trustees, we reflect on her remarkable contributions and extend our heartfelt gratitude for her years of service. Paula's departure marks the end of an era, but her impact will resonate within our organisation for years to come. Myself, Ada Vice Chair Tim Calvert, expresses my sentiments of the entire Executive Committee by saying that it is my honour to extend my thanks and appreciation to Paula on behalf of everyone on the Executive Committee as you step down from your duty. Paula, you've been a shining light and an important and integral contributor to Ada for over a decade, and it's simply not going to be the same without you. Over the last 10 years during my time on the committee, you have been an amazing colleague, a good friend, and have made a difference in so many ways with your unique insight, your positive attitude, and warm, supportive nature. And you've always been there for us. We wish you all the best. Please don't be a stranger, and you're always welcome to return. Paula was instrumental in helping to organise the Audio Description Association conference in Birmingham and attended talking newspaper conferences to promote ADA, and helped to give important feedback on audio description from a visually impaired perspective. Throughout her tenure, Paula has left an indelible mark on the ADA community. While we bid farewell to Paula as a trustee, we know that her influence will endure. Her legacy serves as a guiding light as we continue our work to advance the goals and objectives of the Audio Description Association. We extend our best wishes to Paula as she embarks on new endeavours, and we invite her to remain connected with us as a valued member of the Audio Description Association family. Thank you, Paula, for your dedication, your passion, your friendship, and your contributions. They have made a difference, and your presence will be greatly missed. Industry news. The Witches, National Theatre. We now hear from Ross Chalmers.
On the 24th of January this year, 12-year-old Eleanor Stollery became the youngest person to deliver audio description at the National Theatre, and the first visually impaired young person to do so in the UK. The show was a musical, The Witches. Andrew Holland and I were already working on the audio description. The Witches had three performances, one totally for schools, and the question came up about using a child's voice. There were going to be at least 75 blind children in the audience and for the touch tour. Originally, children from the show were going to be trained, and I was anxious to have a particular blind consultant. I've worked on A Christmas Carol at the Old Vic for several years, where Eleanor has been playing Tiny Tim, and had met her and her family at many audio-described shows. When the scheduling proved impossible for the Witches cast, she was the obvious choice. Eleanor has been partially sighted since she was four, has acted on stage in professional productions, is the voice of a character in a children's cartoon, Milo, and is an avid consumer of audio description. Now the question became, how would she read the descriptions and operate the equipment? And even more importantly, how would she know when to deliver the descriptions? Eleanor's a braille reader, and that takes two hands, so she wouldn't be able to operate a fader, and we'd already agreed that an open mic was out of the question. Our access officer at the NT, David Bellwood, had the brainwave of a foot pedal, the same as used by speech-to-text reporters. The audio description would be set out in braille in columns, each with a letter of the alphabet, A to Z, and then repeating to the end. Numbers were ruled out because they take up too many braille codes, and timing was critical. I cued Eleanor like a deputy stage manager, using the words A, go, B, go, etc. So we set up the sound desk with two channels for Eleanor, one for fold back in her headset and one for listening to the show. I had three channels, one for the show, one to deliver cues into Eleanor's headset, and one in case of a show stop where I might have to step in. The script was edited to allow Eleanor the time to react and read her script, and we had two live rehearsals so that I could adjust my cue timing to her reading speed. She was a triumph. When she hit the word darkness spot on at the end of the first act, I silently cheered. The children were thrilled to hear someone just like them deliver the description, and the feedback from teachers, parents, and the children themselves were that they felt totally immersed in the story. They were laughing at the fart jokes and gasping at amputated mouse tails, and I hope they came out realising, as Eleanor said, anything is possible.
The APT Exhibition. Ensemble explores audio description as a collaborative art form and accessible communication tool, challenging audiences to experience artworks with their minds in an entirely audio-based exhibition. This exhibition has received support from the Arts Council and the Di Lazio Foundation. As a part of this exhibition, we are running a public events program with workshops on audio description. Exhibition details. It takes place from the 2nd to the 26th of May 2024. Opening night is the 2nd of May 2024 and takes place at the APT Gallery in Deptford, postcode SE84SA. Participating artists: Louise Ashcroft, Cash Aspeak, Terence Birch, Fran Cottal, Colin Levines, and Aaron McPeak. Independent artwork descriptions produced by Collective Agency, written by Joe Rizzo-Nordy, edited by Sasha Geldzin, after conversations with Jen Callager, Nicole Cliff, Tim Nefibit, Annie Hayter, and Autumn Sharkey. For further information, Google APT Exhibition. Ada needs you. Trustee vacancies. We have some vacancies coming up on the ADA committee. Secretary. Our brilliant secretary Jenny is leaving us in the summer to have a baby. She has spent the last 2 years transforming our administrative systems, and we're looking for someone organised and energetic to maintain and develop the role. Key tasks. Plan and minute 4 annual executive meetings, mixture of online and in person, and one open AGM. Ensure all official Charity Commission records are kept up to date, including new and retiring trustees. Support the Treasurer with submission of the annual return. Act as a second signatory on the ADA bank account using online banking to approve expenditure. Distribute information to executive members, for example, constitutional documents, induction materials, and shared working documents. Maintain the shared Google Drive and lead the development of this to improve workflows within the executive committee. Support the membership secretary and communications working group to develop and maintain our customer records management and member subscription functions. Support other ADA working groups according to individual skills, interests, and availabilities. Time commitment. This is a voluntary role, but we do suggest 10 to 15 hours per month, plus away days 2 plus per year. Start date as soon as possible. Hand over with the outgoing secretary to take place hopefully by late June, early July. The role is remote with one or two face-to-face meetings annually. These mainly take place in London, and Audio Description Association can pay for travel within the UK. ADA Trustee Vacancies Assistant Treasurer. Our Honorary Treasurer, Andrew Piper, is set to do some work with the Describing for Screen working party around standards and training and needs to free up some of his time that he is currently devoting to his role as Treasurer to get stuck into this important area. Almost all of our financial activity is electronic, with minimal need for additional record keeping. So now is an excellent moment for someone to take on the role of Assistant Treasurer, getting to grips with our banking payments and financial reporting requirements. You don't need a background in accounts, but you do need to be comfortable with numbers and internet banking and be fairly methodical. Unlike me, says Andrew, my ADHD brain could do with someone level-headed and organised to make sure that I's are dotted and T's are crossed. I have infinite patience for showing someone how the technology works and the memory of a goldfish for what important things need to happen and when. Like all trustees, we would encourage you to join and support other working groups and committee functions according to your skills, interests and availability. This is a voluntary role and the time commitment is 3 to 4 hours a month. The role is mostly remote with one or two face-to-face meetings annually in London. An ADA can pay for travel within the UK. For more information or to express an interest in these roles, please do email Jenny at admin@audiodescription.co.uk. Industry Podcast Resources. RNIB Connect Radio broadcasts 24/7 and serves as your very own radio station. Enjoy a mix of information, entertainment and interviews hosted by blind and partially sighted presenters. You can listen live by visiting www.rnib.org.uk/connectradio. The Audio Description Network Alliance podcast. Listen to interviews of your favourite audio description professionals for movies, series and more. Search the Audio Description Network Alliance podcast by using Google. A View on Access podcast. Tim Calvert presents. A View on Access showcasing the best of accessible entertainment, arts and culture around the UK. This podcast offers a spotlight on audio description, venue access and general information that visually impaired audiences may find useful. You can visit www.audiodescription.co.uk/podcast or you can Google A View on Access on Audioboom. And finally, read all about it. What we need. Information about forthcoming Audio Describe TV shows, performances, or related events and workshops, suggestions for newsletter stories, and thoughtful pieces that can enrich our readers' experiences. Any new innovations around audio description, volunteers to host AD Soup sessions, where we can come together to share ideas and insights. Get involved and help us create a more inclusive and engaging platform for all of us. Drop us a line at info@audiodescription.co.uk. Thanks for listening to this second audio newsletter for April 2024. And to contact us, the email again is info@audiodescription.co.uk.